He does a great, great job on that piano. And you all do a great job singing. You know, you are great singers out there.
They make it fun to play.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Singers make it fun to play. And you make it fun to sing.
Amen.
You just kind of work together and sing together. Amen.
My favorite ones are the ones you get to know.
This morning, brought a message on the tongue. Guess what I'm preaching on tonight?
The ears.
No, the tongue. The tongue. But a whole different perspective on the tongue. Take your Bibles and go to James chapter 3 again. James 3. This morning we spent most of the morning on the negative aspect of the tongue. Tonight I'd like to spend the evening on the positive aspect of the tongue and see what the Bible has to say about that. So hopefully this will be an encouraging message. Hopefully it'll be a challenge to you. I was praying that this morning might be that too. I don't know. It'll depend on what we pick up with that secret microphone where we had delivered to all your homes this afternoon. Right? Guys were out busily this afternoon putting microphones in all the homes of all of you folks. And so through the week, I'll be enjoying what I hear coming from your house.
Why not?
I might say, well, turn that off.
Yeah.
Picking on me again. They're picking on me. I'm talking about me. But remember. Remember, Brennan, God's listening to your words all the time.
Amen.
God is bugging your conversation every single day.
That's right.
Amen.
And He's listening. The Lord God has an invisible microphone, and He's listening to all of our conversations all the time. You need to think about that. When you have that perspective, when you pretend that you see a heavenly microphone in front of you, you might think twice before you say some of the things you might say. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe it doesn't affect you. I don't care. Yeah, some people are like that. I don't care what God thinks. I'm going to do what I want. I hope that's not you. But we're going to talk about some of the positive things. Little quiz. Can I give you a little quiz tonight? All right, a little quiz tonight. How many words does the average man say in a day, Thomas?
7,000.
7,000 words, the average spoken by a man in a day. How many words does the woman, Sonia?
Yeah, 20,000, but that's because we repeat ourselves three times.
Oh, you ladies like that, don't you? I don't see a man. I see straight faces of all the men walking. No, we all got it. That was rough. That was really, you know.
You thought about that all afternoon.
That was good, but she didn't get the message this morning. She's not watching her words.
That's 21,000.
That was good, though. That was good. Yeah, they do. They have to receive themselves.
Oh, my goodness.
I gotta do that for you, son. That was good. 20,000 words a day that the average woman speaks every day. And 7,000 for the guys. Do you remember in 1 year how many books that would make for the man to write, the volumes of books, Catherine?
24.
Well, close. Add four to that. 28 books. That's equivalent to you having 28 books of all the things you say in 1 year. Do you remember the books or the volumes of the women?
81.
81 volumes of books you ladies are writing every single year. Now do the math. However old you are, times that by your age, and that's the volumes of books that you have said through your years. That's a lot. This is basic. This is research from today. Yes. But a lifetime of words that we say, it's kind of alarming to think about all the words we say. Yeah. And many of those words are just vain words. Wow. Idle words. Jesus said you're going to give an account of your idle words. So we have to be careful as to how we say it. We have to be careful how we use our tongue. Chapter 3 again is God is testing our faith by our tongue. Just one verse tonight to turn this into something a little bit more positive. Look at verse 13 of James 3. Let's read it out loud together. James chapter 3, verse 13. We all there?
Amen.
If you're not there yet, say, I'm not there yet, wait. No, nobody. Okay, verse 13, James 3, let's read it out loud together. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Father, bless the message tonight. Use it for your honor and for your glory. Help us, Lord, tonight to learn some things about the tongue. Lord, we learned some things this morning about the negative part of the tongue. Help us, Lord, to see some positive tonight. Lord, I pray that you bless the message and use it for you. Again, Lord, help us to learn this book. Help us to learn how to control ourselves. Father, we just pray that you continue to bless in our lives, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody said these little quotes, and I wrote them down this afternoon. Be sure to taste your words before you spit them out. That's good advice. Be sure to taste your words before you spit them out. Somebody said this, the tongue has no bones, but it's strong enough to break hearts. Strong enough to break hearts. Have you ever had your heart broken? Have you ever had your heart damaged? Have you ever been damaged by somebody's words? Somebody said this, it's better to bite your tongue than to eat your words. Amen? Bite your tongue. If you think you're going to say something that you shouldn't say, just bite your tongue. You know it hurts to bite your tongue. You ever do that?
Yeah.
Ah, I bit my tongue. Doesn't that hurt?
Yep.
Sometimes we need to do that just to control ourselves. I'm going to look at some scripture, and then I'm going to try to get a little interaction with you tonight. I'm going to try to see if you can respond with some things. I've got 10 things written down that the Lord gave me this afternoon that we'll look at, and I want the church involved in this. But before that, let's get into the Bible, some verses that deals with this. Look at Colossians chapter 4, and look at verse 6. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Colossians 4, verse 6. Paul, as he's writing to the church of Colossae, says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. We need to think, again, as I said this morning, we need to think before we speak. We need to always be concerned about how we're coming across with our words. Even sometimes when we joke around, sometimes our joking around can be very hurtful to somebody.
Yeah.
It's happened with me. I've joked around with somebody and it wasn't funny. I thought it was funny. I entertained me with my little words that I used. That was entertaining to me, but it was not entertaining to the person that was receiving it. And so even when we joke around, we think it's funny. It's not always funny. And people have used things like that on me, thought it was funny. I didn't find it funny at all. But that's sometimes how we come across. That's the way, unfortunately, that's not good. And so our speech always has to be with grace. When you think about grace, you think about God's grace to you and how much grace He showed to you. How much grace do we show to other people? Here's something that, again, it's common, but somebody pulls out in front of you. You're driving down the road, somebody pulls out in front of you. Sometimes people get overreactive in that, and they'll blow the horn, they'll throw a fist up, get right on their back bumper, swerve a little bit to let the people know if they're looking in the rear mirror that you've affected their day. Sometimes the facial expressions can be very telling. We have something today that's getting more and more popular. It's called road rage.
Yep.
People have died because of that.
Yeah.
Innocent things that somebody just... I mean, have you ever pulled out in front of somebody that you probably should?
Yeah.
Of course you have.
Yep.
You've done things that probably infuriated somebody else. But today, we have people that take that to the next level And they'll hunt you down and they'll kill you if they have the opportunity. They get so filled with rage because of something you did with a vehicle. You hear about it a lot. You're hearing about it more and more all the time. We need to have some grace. Somebody pulls out in front of you, tap the brake, slow down, back off, and smile.
Yep. Amen.
You smile because you've done it yourself.
Amen.
Or say, that's okay. I mean, just relax. It's not the end of the world. They didn't smack you. Now, accidents happen, of course, but just, you don't need to get overreactive with some of these things, because it does. It tests your reaction. Got a little book in the library. I've had it for years, and I keep one in one of my Bible cases. It's called Your Reactions Are Showing. And the last time I tried to get those, I couldn't get them. They're out of print. But boy, they are a great booklet. Small little blue booklet. It says Your Reactions Are Showing. And it makes you think about the way that you respond to things in life. Many times people respond with verbal reactions. Not good either. Some of them, sometimes they can be very, very cruel, the way that we respond with our verbiage. Some people respond with a physical confrontation. People respond in different ways. But we have to be thinking about, how are my reactions affecting my life over something that has happened to me personally? Paul said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned. I don't know about you, but I like seasonings. I like a good steak seasoned well. Right? How many of you put salt on your watermelon? I never could figure that out. I don't understand the concept behind putting salt on a watermelon. I want to taste the watermelon. I don't want to taste the salt. But people season their watermelon with salt. I don't understand it, but that's what you do. That's fine. You go ahead and you put as much salt on your watermelon as you want. The other thing I can't ever understand is cheese and apple pie. It ruins the apple pie. I am an apple pie connoisseur. And keep the cheese far, far away from my apple pie. If I see cheese coming towards my apple pie, there's going to be some consequences. No, I'm not going to hear that. I got to be careful. I would just take the cheese and move it aside. But I mean, that's not a seasoning. I don't know what it is. I don't know who invented it, but that person should. Never mind. We like seasoning. When you ladies cook something, you always, there's some seasoning that goes into it. When you make a cake, there's, you know. You ever make something without putting salt in it? And you taste it? Ooh, what happened? What's wrong with that? Or you forgot to put the sugar in? We had one time a Thanksgiving dinner and somebody made a pumpkin pie and forgot to put the sugar in. It was the grossest pumpkin pie we've ever had.
Squash pie.
That sugar, never mind who made it. Who said who made it? I can't say who made it. Nobody that's here right now. But we have to be careful. What did you say over there? No, she didn't. No, I'll tell you later. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Stop guessing who it is. You don't need to know. It's not important. Why did I even bring it up? I'm not watching my words at all. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." How do you edify somebody? Tell me quickly. Somebody just raise your hand. Tell me how you edify somebody. What do you do? You encourage them. That's what edifying is. You encourage somebody. You don't cut them down. You build them up. That's what encouraging is to build somebody up, not cut them down. We have a tendency with our words to cut somebody down. Sometimes we husbands are guilty of that. We'll cut down our wives. We'll cut down our children with our words instead of building them up like we're supposed to be doing. And so again, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. There's that word grace again. It's popped up in two verses that we've looked at, in Colossians and Ephesians. And so our language, our words, the way that we communicate is supposed to be communication coupled with grace.
Right.
And we're not to allow any corrupt communication to proceed out of our mouths. That's not just cursing and swearing. Sometimes that's the way we think. Oh, that's just cursing. No, that's putting somebody down. That's not edifying someone. And so we have to be careful about that. Go over to the book of Psalms. You know, Psalms has a lot to say about this. Psalms and Proverbs probably are the two books that says more about the tongue and language than any other books of the Bible.
Amen.
Psalm 37. We'll be in Psalms just for a few minutes. 37th Psalm. Look at verse 30. Psalm 37, verse 30 and 31. The mouth of the righteous speaketh what? Say it.
Wisdom.
And his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The reason that the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom is because the law, next verse, the law of his God is in his heart.
That's good. Amen.
What's in your heart is coming out of here.
Amen.
Whatever's in here is coming out here. Remember that. And so if the law of God is in your heart, what you're going to say is godly things.
Right.
You'll actually be speaking the word of God. Look at 45 and verse 2. 45 verse 2. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into his lips. Thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. There's that word grace again. We found it now in three of the verses that we've looked at. And so grace is poured into thy lips. Let me ask you a question. Don't say anything. But does grace come from your lips? Does grace come from your words? Are you a graceful person when it comes to the way that you and I, the way we communicate? 71. Psalm 71. Verse 15 through 18. These are the we might say, the positive verses that deal with the tongue. The way that we should be communicating. Not what we learned this morning, how not to talk, but tonight we're learning a little bit more as to how we talk. Well, look at verse, where am I? 71? Look at verse 8, and then we'll drop down to verse 15. Look at verse 8. Psalm 71, verse 8, it says, "Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day." All the day. When all kinds of things are hitting you at your job or at your home or whatever. All kinds of situations are coming. The Bible says, "Let my mouth be filled with thy praise." Lord, I'm just going to praise you. Instead of saying what I want to say, I'm going to praise you. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. If you're tempted to say something derogatory to your spouse, just praise the Lord. Praise God. And don't say that derogatory thing to your spouse, to your child, to your parents.
Yep.
Kids can get that way also.
Yep.
Kids can get mouthy. You ever have a child get mouthy to you?
Yep.
Oh. We've had children get mouthy to us. We have children in our school get mouthy with us. That, I got to say this, parents, that really, that irks me.
Absolutely.
When a student gets mouthy with me or with one of the teachers, or with Kathy or James, that let's go. We're going to have a talk.
Amen.
And I have a hard time dealing with mouthy kids. But that just shows you that they're having a hard time controlling their mouth. So our mouth needs to be filled with praise. If your mouth is filled with praise, it's not going to be filled with a lot of the other junk that comes out of your mouth or my mouth.
That's right.
Now drop down to verse 15 of the same chapter. "My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day." There's that all day long again. We've got praising all day long that we're supposed to be doing. We've got showing forth the righteousness of God and His salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, that's me, forsake me not until I have shown thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Even in our old age, don't say this, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You can control your mouth, sir.
Right.
I don't care how old you are. I don't care how you were raised. I don't care what your father, how your mother raised you. Stop blaming your parents for everything. People today, that's the way my father taught me. Well, that's no excuse for the way you talk or the way I talk. You talk the way you talk because that's the way you want to talk. You're allowing sin to overrule you. And so even when you're old, let God control you.
Amen.
Just, I'll tell you, you're safer just praising the Lord.
Amen.
Just praise God.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Verse 23 of the same chapter. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded. For they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Can you honestly say that your tongue just talks of the righteousness of God all the day long? I wish I could say that. I need to say that. We all need to control our tongue. Psalm 105 and verse 2. Psalm 105 and verse 2. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Again, if we can just fill our mouths with God's goodness, we'll say less derogatory things to one another.
Amen.
But so often we don't do that. We don't stop and think about what we're saying. We're not praising God all day. We're not allowing righteousness to come off from our tongue and through our lips out into the world so everybody can hear. We're allowing other things to come out of our mouth. Hence we get in trouble for what we say. Psalm 119, that's the Word of God chapter in the Bible. In Psalm 119 and verse 13. Psalm 119, verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. With my lips have I declared all the judgments. That's the Word of God. We're supposed to have the Word of God on our lips. We're supposed to be declaring the Word of God.
Amen.
How can you do that if you don't know the Word of God? If you're not spending time reading God's Word and memorizing and meditating upon God's Word. Verse 46 of Psalm 119. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 21. Proverbs 10, verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom.
Yep.
Are you feeding people with righteousness? Husband, are you feeding your wife and family with righteousness? Wives, are you feeding your children and your husband with righteousness? Proverbs 16, verse 21. Proverbs 16, 21. We're just barely tonight scratching the surface of all the different verses that are in the Word of God that deals with the positive aspect of our tongues and how we're supposed to talk. I'm kind of just hitting a few of them here. 16 and verse 21 through 24. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, And the sweetness of the lips increase learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. But the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 27, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. And there's other verses that deal with that, but again, just looking at the positive part of that, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet. I wish I could say that all my words were sweet as a honeycomb. You probably should think that way also.
Amen.
Let's make it a goal this week to watch what we say. Let's make it a goal this week to think before we speak. Let's make it a goal this week to treat our wives, guys, with love and respect. And don't say anything that's derogatory to them. Don't put them down. Don't undermine them. Communicate with them. Wives, do the same thing with your husbands. Let's make sure that we are communicating together. Friends, church members, let's learn how to communicate with one another.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, and verse 12. Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 12. I know this is more of a Bible study than a preaching service, but I don't know about you, but I need this.
Amen.
The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. That's an interesting verse. But the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. There's that grace again that's supposed to be mixed in with our words, the way that we communicate. I go over to the New Testament in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Did you say that when Jesus was on the planet, he watched what he said? He was careful the way that he conducted himself. The words that he said were the right words all the time. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
It was. I mean, Jesus is the ultimate example of always using right words when he spoke. And he is supposed to be our example.
Amen.
Peter tells us that we are to use Jesus Christ as our example in everything that we do. And it says in Luke chapter 4, and I believe it's verse 22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious, look at this, gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? They were saying, he's just a man like we are, but listen to the way that he talks. He talks in a different way. He talks in a different manner. He's thinking about what he says. He's using his words to communicate properly and right. We can learn a lot from Jesus Christ, the way he talks. We can learn a lot from the Bible as to how we are to communicate and the way that we are not to communicate.
Yeah.
I jotted down 10 things, and this is where I would like your interaction a little bit tonight. 10 things that we can do with our words. You might want to jot these down. 10 things we can do with our words. Number one, I wrote this down, we can preach the gospel.
Amen.
That's a good thing. We preachers get up behind a pulpit. Jeff was over in Farmington today. Rich was down in Groton today. Other guys will go out and preach at various times. I preached from this pulpit here today and taught a Sunday school class. But it's not just standing behind a pulpit.
Right.
We preach everywhere we go.
Amen.
Ladies, you do the same thing. You have a ministry with your children, with your family. You have a ministry with your husband. You have a ministry with your neighbors. You are preaching also. We preach with our lives. Now, we don't believe that a lady should get behind a pulpit and preach in a mixed congregation.
Amen.
We do not believe that a woman is to ever pastor a church.
Amen.
Okay, that's the Bible makes that very clear. If you don't like that, I'm sorry, but that's what God says.
That's right.
The pastor is to be the husband of one wife, and that does not... I know in today's fluid gender society, everybody can make that sound any way they want, but that's not biblical. God does not have a gender fluid church.
That's right. Amen.
There's a male and a female. That's it.
Amen.
And the man is the pastor of the church. Now, you ladies have a very, very important job to do.
Amen.
With ministries within the church. You have a ministry in your home with your children. Very, very important. But this is one good thing we can do. We can preach the gospel. Secondly, number two, we can teach with our mouth. We have ladies that teach a Sunday school class here. We have ladies in the nursery. I never recommend men work the nursery. In this church, I never want a man working the nursery.
Amen.
Only women work the nursery.
Amen.
The nursery, to me, is no place for a man to work.
Amen.
A man should not be in there changing little diapers and doing all those things. I know you guys, some of you are taught, you can do that. I understand that. Me, I'm done changing diapers. That's it. My diaper changing days are way over. I have retired from that. I retired from that many years ago. I don't do that. I mean, if I had to, I would. If Titus needed his diaper change and nobody could do it, I would muster through it. I think I remember how to do that. I don't know. But I wouldn't have any problem changing one kind of diaper. But anyway, I don't know. Well, okay. Nursery. Ladies work the nursery. All right? Guys, stay out of the nursery. I know you want to help, but just stay out. Let the ladies handle that. Here's the third thing I wrote down that we can do with our words. We can witness for the Lord.
Amen.
Witness. Talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be a witness everywhere we go.
Amen.
We should have on our lips the ability to give an answer to people that ask us the reason why that we are the way we are. They should look at you and say, you know, there's something different about you. What is different about you? Well, let me tell you what happened to me back whenever. You can give your testimony. That's the fourth thing I wrote down. With our words, we can give our testimony. We can speak and let people know what God has done for us, what God is doing, and what God is going to do in your life. You can give that testimony. It's important for us to give testimony to that. Number five, I wrote this down. We can sing praises to the Lord with our mouth.
Amen.
We can sing. Some of you can sing really well. Some of you
make a joyful noise.
Make a joyful noise.
Amen.
Stay away from the choir. That's all we ask. I'm trying to be nice, but we can all sing praises to the Lord.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Driving down the road, you ever just sing a song driving down the road in your car? But we can all do that. We can sing praises to the Lord. All right, these next five are a little different. I jotted these down. We can compliment others. We can compliment others. Guys, your wife works hard all day. She's maybe taking care of kids. She's whatever she does. Maybe she's out working. And she comes home and she puts together a meal and she tries to do the various things that she does. Do you compliment her on that? Do you compliment her? Do you say, you know, honey, that was a great meal. Thank you for that. Honey, thank you for, you know, and you can fill in the blanks, but do you compliment your wives, husbands? Well, TJ's just full of it, though. Full of his compliments over there. He is looking for a wife. Just letting everybody know that. He's 40 years old, and he is looking for a wife. He told me he wanted to be married by, well, he's 40. I said, you got till you turn 41 next May. So, is anybody listening online? right into the church and we'll give you some information. But do you compliment your children? Do you compliment others? It's not, you don't just, TJ, you don't have to just compliment your wife because you don't have one, but you have a daughter, you have a boss. You ever compliment your boss that you work for? That's a good practice to do. Compliment your boss. Tell your boss how good he or she is. It might help you a little bit in a job. But just compliment. Learn how to compliment. Give out compliments to people. Wives, compliment your husband. Yeah. I mean, try to, if you can. Compliment. Compliment your children. Compliment somebody else in the church. Find something, hey, I really like that tie. That's a compliment. A lady could walk, now I don't recommend this for guys who go up to a lady and say, boy, you look really nice today. I don't recommend that. but ladies could walk up to a lady and say, I like your skirt. It's such a nice skirt. You know, you ladies can do that. And, oh, I like your hair. You know, you can do all that kind of stuff. But we guys, we're different. We don't do that. But we could say, hey, that's a nice looking tie. But learn how to give out some compliments. Boy, you guys really sounded good tonight. The choir, we didn't have tonight, but boy, when the choir does sing, I like to try to compliment them. They really do well. When Rich and Mary sing, I like to throw a compliment at them. But you sound good. Rich played the piano good tonight. That's a compliment.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Benedict, you sounded good Friday night.
Amen.
Really? As a compliment. You didn't know that or not. Throwing a compliment. I always try to compliment them when they do something. But let's learn how to give out compliments.
Amen.
That's something good that we can do with our tongues.
Yeah.
One thing that I lack, and I need to improve on that, is complimenting our students in our school more.
That's true.
We need to do that. Teachers need to compliment their students. So I wish there was something I could compliment them. You can find something to compliment your students.
That's right.
Find something to compliment them. Anything. Find a compliment. Our problem is we don't look for compliments.
That's right.
We don't look to compliment some people. But learn how to compliment. This I wrote down too. Encourage one another. This is something good we can do with our tongues. Encourage somebody. Just give some words of encouragement. How can you encourage somebody? What can you do to encourage somebody? Raise your hand. Tell me how you could encourage somebody.
You're an excellent pastor.
You're looking for something, but okay. Thank you for the encouragement. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry?
Make them dinner.
Make them dinner. Yes, yes. What did you say, Douglas?
I use a new tongue, but Mrs. Chartier said you taste it first to make sure it's safe.
Okay. But how do you encourage someone? There's got to be some ways to encourage. Yes, Douglas?
If somebody's just kind of looking down, they look like they're having an issue.
Yeah.
You can throw out encouragements that will, you can compliment them throughout that will encourage them.
Yes.
Or just listen. Hey, you all right?
Yep.
And try to find the plus side to whatever's going on.
Yes. Carrie?
One thing that encouraged me as a mom of lots of small children was when people would say, hey, I noticed that you were struggling with this, but you've improved in this area, so that's great. Or if someone stopped and said, hey, I see you're having a rough time, you might as well pray with me.
Yeah.
That was a huge encouragement.
Yes. Big. That's very big. Jeff.
Fellowship.
Okay. Yep. Fellowship is encouraging. Very much so. Simon?
Sometimes just teaching them to do something that they really want to learn.
Right.
So that they can have more confidence in their abilities.
Yes. Yep. Marissa.
Have that officer who in our family is helpful or if you had a rough day, say, what was the best part of your day? And kind of keep your mind off.
That's good. I like that. What was the best part of your day? Not the worst. You don't need to rehash the worst part of the day. You already know that. But find something good in the day that's encouraging. And okay, Jeffrey, what?
When you hand out a gospel tract, encourage them to come to church.
Yep. Encourage them to read it, come to church. So we can encourage one another. Husbands and wives need to encourage one another.
Amen.
Yes. Not tear one another down, but again, build one another up.
Amen.
Relationships are built on encouragement so often.
Amen.
It's important that we learn this, guys and gals. We've got to learn to be encouraging to one another. Not discouraging. There's too much discouragement going on today in marriages and families and relationships and even in churches. We know churches that are just... churches are down. People are down. There's no encouragement going on within the church. It's just, it's sad to see it. Here's another thing I wrote down. Show our appreciation. Show your appreciation to somebody. If they've done something for you, I mean, show that appreciation. Be appreciative for them and for what they have done. If somebody goes out of their way to help you, show your appreciation. You know what is a really good appreciation? Is a thank you.
Amen.
That's showing your appreciation for somebody. Just saying thank you.
Amen.
Or I appreciate that. You were a big help to me today. Or whatever. But show some appreciation to somebody else. Other than patting yourself on the back. Learn how to pat somebody else on the back. Here's another thing I wrote down. I got two more I wrote down. Give positive feedback on a situation. Learn to give some positive feedback on whatever it is that's going on in maybe somebody's life. There is something there positive that you can deal with. It doesn't always have to be completely negative. There's a lot of negative in the Bible, I understand it, but there's a lot of positive too. There's a lot of negative when it comes to the tongue. We talked about that this morning, but there's a lot of positive we've seen tonight that deals with the tongue also. It's the way that we talk. It's the way that we communicate. It's the words that we say. And the Bible gives us the way to speak. So give positive feedback on a situation. And then here's the last thing I wrote down. Congratulate somebody for something. Congratulate. Boy, congratulations on that. Boy, you did a great job. Fill in the blank. I don't know. But just congratulate. Learn how to be a little bit more appreciative, encouraging, not down in the dumps all the time.
Amen.
You see somebody down in the dumps, try to lift them up out of the dump.
Amen.
You ever been in the dump?
Yep.
Thank you.
It's awful.
Yep.
It smells, there's garbage all over the place, rats running around. It's terrible.
Sounds like Washington.
It used to be the highlight of every week, our Saturdays, when we went to the Van Buren dump. Right, Buck? Dad, go to the dump. Hey, can we go too? Boy, we'd go to the dump. Back in those days, you could do some dump picking.
Yeah.
You could pick the dump. Boy, we'd come home with all kinds of neat little things. There were some neat little things there in the dump. We were allowed to do that. I remember getting perfect little blocks of wood one time. This is way back. I mean, I was just a little kid. But I came home with all these blocks of wood, little sanded, little neat little blocks of wood. I'm going to build something out of these blocks of wood. And I never did. But boy, it was fun getting them, picking them up and putting them in something and bringing them home. It was the highlight of my Saturdays when we went to the dump. But you know what I also learned from the dump? It smelled horrible at the dump. There was a smell that resonated from that dump. When we would drive by the dump, you could smell the smell because they would be burning the trash, and it was just, it smelled. Do you ever go to Walmart over here when the wind is just right? Oh, man, the other day I was over there, and you know what? There's got to be a dump around here somewhere. And obviously you can see it because of the smell. But when people get down in the dumps, it's a stinky place to be. And we as Christians, we need to try to lift that person up out of the dumps. Give them some words of encouragement. Give them some compliments somehow. Just maybe a little praise the Lord. You know, God is good, isn't He? Just look at that person and say, you know, God is good no matter what it is we're going through. God is a good God, right? I mean, those are encouraging words. Sometimes we have to be reminded of this. God is just a good God. no matter what. No matter what we're going through, God is good. Learn how to do that. Let's get more positive with our words and less negative. Let's learn how to speak to one another and communicate with one another. And we might have a lot happier life by learning how to say things that we need to say to one another. We'll have a better relationship, not just in our families, but in our church. Some churches, like I said, you walk in, I've heard some missionaries say they walk into a church and nobody talks to them at all. I don't know if Rich, you've ever been in a church like that. You're friendly people, but there, I'll never forget Brother Dwyer telling me one time that he went to a church in Pennsylvania somewhere, and not one person came up to shake their hand. Not one person talked to them. They stood in the back trying to talk, and everybody just walked right by. Didn't even look at them.
Yep.
Here's a sweet family that loves the Lord, good preacher, and yet nobody would talk to him. You know that stood out in his mind as something very negative about that church?
Right.
I hope and pray that never happens here.
Amen.
You need to be friendly.
Amen.
You need to look friendly.
Amen.
You can look friendly.
Amen.
I don't feel friendly. I don't know what to tell you. But, folks, there is a negative way to talk and there's a positive way. I guess you got to choose which one you want to do. You choose. You can be negative if you want. You can have that sour look all the time and just negative, negative, negative. Or you can start learning how to be more positive with your words and use biblical words to communicate with people. Father, thank you again for the Word of God. What a blessing it is that we can see things that we need to change in our life. Lord, I pray that you would help us. I just pray that we've learned something today from the Word of God. We've learned how not to talk. We've learned the negative aspect of talking with our tongue. And yet, Lord, the Bible has a lot to say about the positive aspect of our tongue, how we need to praise you, how we need that our speech needs to be seasoned with grace, that we need to have praise on our lips. And be able to encourage one another and build one another up and edify, compliment. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us to change our communication to a communication that is pleasing, well-pleasing to you. To speak to our hearts, Lord, tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. If you're not saved here tonight, I pray that you would trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. The message was not per se a gospel message. It was more of a Bible study on the tongue. But if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're in the right place at the right time, and we can take the Bible and show you how you can be saved.
Amen.
If you maybe struggle with your tongue, maybe you ought to come to the altar and have a talk with God about that. Let the Lord work in your heart. Let the Lord change your tongue. Let the Lord change your vocabulary. Let the Lord change the way you communicate with people. Because God can do that. He can do some amazing things.
Thank you.
good week. Don't forget that microphone is there. David Weir, would you dismiss us tonight, please?
Dear Lord, for that message, Lord, please help us to control our tongue, Lord. Give us the strength to encourage others this week. In precious name, Jesus, amen.
Amen.